Well, good morning. Good to see everybody. Glad y'all are here, despite all the nasty Louisiana weather, but it's par for the course. So y'all ready to roll today?
Yeah.
Good. I'm excited about this message and this message series. Honestly, it's new ways, rerouting your spiritual life. And my heart for you is that you can get to the place that God's called you to be. And if you don't know what that call is, this is a great way to find out what it is. And my heart in it is that I can help you to do what you need to do so that you can get to the place that you know that you need to be. That's why we're talking about discipline. And that's this whole message series. And it's turning out to be longer than I thought because I started out with a message that I prepared all week for. And then I always email it to Pastor Josh and he helps me. I'm not the smartest guy when it comes to kind of everything. And can I just say, I am just humbled at the people that God has in my life. It's so humbling. And I don't know, you get older and you realize that you were probably really cocky when you were younger because you're not as good as you thought you were. But because of God's grace and goodness and the people that he has around you, you look better than you ever thought you would. And it's, let me just tell you, that's when you go, thank you, God, and thank you to the people in my life. And there's such a call on us as a church. Just, I really think that God's moving just, and obviously in the world, but even in this area, God's at work, and we get to be a part of that if we're together. But before we can effectively be together, we got to get ourselves together, which means I got to do my part. And talking about spiritual disciplines is nothing that I thought, that'd be a great, yeah. I really feel like this is what the Lord had for us in a book that I read called The Celebration of Discipline, which is a great book that I love to hate and think it's wonderful at the same time, because the reality is that it's fun to be comfortable, isn't it? And if our society worships anything, it's comfort and convenience. Like, listen, I'm just saying right now, Popeye's chicken sandwich is amazing. Like, I hate that I have to cheat on Chick-fil-A. Y'all know what I'm saying? But like, I love the Popeye's chicken sandwich, but I'm not getting the chicken sandwich anymore. You know why? Not because I don't want it, because it's not great. It's because the line's too darn long. And like Chick-fil-A got that thing down. Like it can be like out to Nelson Road and you're like, it's only gonna take 5 minutes. And then you're gonna spend 30 at Pop. What's the point? Like we worship convenience. And apparently chicken sandwiches, some of you do. And discipline. Okay, just because that, no, it's straight. Excellent. Rerouting your spiritual life. Here's the key verse. It's Hebrews 12:11, and it says this. It says, all discipline seems not to be joyful but sorrowful. In the moment, discipline, that means doing what you don't necessarily want to do so that you can become what you know you're called to be. And let me tell you right now, if you're a Christian and you don't recognize that there's a call on your life, spend more time with Jesus. And I'm telling you, he's going to tell you. He's got a purpose and a plan for you. But we'll never get there if we're not willing to do in the moment, which is what is hard and difficult. It's not joyful. It's sorrowful. It's painful to sometimes do what you know you need to do. Isn't that true? I don't like it at all. I don't like discipline, but I do like the results. I mean, there have been times in my life when I've been in some darn good shape. I'd rather be academically disciplined than physically disciplined. But you know what? The reality is that I enjoy academic discipline because I could read my life away. Anybody in here, you could read your life away? I don't need to watch movies. I don't even like going to movies. Ask my wife. It's true. I'd rather read because that's, for me, that's a discipline that's turned into a joy because I love learning. I love it. I love it. But I don't necessarily like treadmills. I do like chicken sandwiches, obviously. But when we've been trained, in other words, we've disciplined ourselves so much that it's just a part of what we do because that's what training is. It's got a goal in mind. It's I'm going to be what God's called me to be. Let me tell you that our church, I know what God's called. This isn't a me thing. This is a God thing. Like people, I'm telling you, God's hand is on us to reach thousands and have, I don't even, like music and worship that is known all over far and wide, I'm telling you. I mean, our church, our side typically doesn't have musicians and vocalists and like we do. Why? It's because God is with us. I think sometimes God waits for me to play catch up. I got to be trained. It's part of what I do. Why? Peaceful fruit of righteousness. You know, we talked last week about inward disciplines, and over the course of this message series that I have no idea how long it will be because it keeps changing on me. Last week, we talked about the inward disciplines, meditation, prayer, fasting, and study. I did four disciplines in one message. That was stupid. It was exceedingly stressful, difficult for me, and I thought it came out not so great. So today, I wrote another message with, there's three types of disciplines, inward, outward, and corporate. The corporate disciplines, things like confession, that we confess who we are, we confess our sins to one another. This is corporate things. Celebration, which we sort of did with those first and second songs, though we had a bunch of white people that were real stiff, just kind of standing there, gripping like it's a roller coaster, the seat in front of them, like, maybe I can swear to the music. I'm sorry, I'm a bass player, okay? Oh, Lordy, but it's a new song, so grace, and I love y'all. And thank you for trying, and just don't swallow your tongue, all right? Where was I? Really, where was I? Somebody tell me. I was talking about white people. Stop it. Because I'm clearly so groovy. What? Corporate discipline. Celebration. That's where I got off on it. Celebration. But white people celebrate funny. That is true. It's very true. Even office parties for white people? I'm sorry. I got to stop. It's going to turn. Let me get to my notes. It's like, golf. That is the quintessential celebration of white people. Like, it's very good. But today we're talking about, man, I'm having too much fun up here. Today we're talking about the outward disciplines. And so I wrote a message on the four outward disciplines: simplicity, solitude, submission, and service. And then I always get input from really smart, amazing people around me. And I wrote the message and then I emailed it, what my rough draft to Pastor Josh, because he's amazing. And he sent me back the email and said, you need to cut it at least in half. And so I was like, okay, yeah, I'll cut it in half. And I'll just do two disciplines. And then I came up here for first service and I only preached one. But it was on time. And that's what we're going to do today. So we're talking about the first discipline, and it's an outward discipline. That means it's something that we live out, that people can see it, and it's something that we do. This is why I love the outward discipline so much, because somebody's telling me, this is what we do. Okay, this is what it looks like to follow Jesus practically. But can I just say that if it becomes an action and something that we legalistically have to do, it brings death, because law brings death, but it's the breath of God that brings life. So my heart is that you get his. And that his breath fills you so that you can live simply and you can live at peace. So let's define simplicity, biblical simplicity, the discipline of simplicity. So here it is, simplicity, the spiritual discipline of living a biblically prioritized life. It's an outward expression of an inner reality, a biblically prioritized life. Why should we embrace spiritual discipline? Why should we live simply? Here's why. Because Jesus embraced the spiritual disciplines. Jesus meditated, prayed, fasted, studied. Jesus lived a simple life. He embraced solitude as something regularly that he engaged in. He understood healthy biblical submission, not some authoritarian craziness that makes you feel like you're less than. He understood what service was all about. So if Jesus lived simply, shouldn't I? And if he did, what does that practically look like for me? Well, what did it look like for him? Understanding priorities. Understanding priorities. So Jesus was 100% man, but he was 100% God. So he was God squeezed into the restrictions of this. But he understood what was most important. Even as a kid, he got it. So, there were three major festivals in Judaism where, regardless of where you were in the country, you needed to go to Jerusalem and you celebrated in Jerusalem. Well, Jesus grew up and he lived in Nazareth. And so, Nazareth is 90-something miles. It's 90 to about 92 to 95 miles, depending on the route that you take, on today's roads from Nazareth to Jerusalem. That's an awful long way. And Jesus and his whole extended family, they would walk that. That's about, I love backpacking. That's about 2 weeks. That's about 2 weeks one way, then a week celebration, 2 weeks, depending on which celebration it was, and then 2 weeks back. This was some serious stuff. And so Jesus went with his whole family. Like, it was a family affair, and it wasn't just his immediate family. It was extended family and friends and everybody that knew one another in Nazareth. And so they walk there, and they're there for their celebration. And then this is what happens, is after the celebration is over, the whole group of everyone starts to, they go home. Except Jesus' family forgets about him, or they actually, the Bible says, that they thought they were his other relatives. Have you ever been to like a family reunion? And you're like, where are your kids? And you're like, I don't know and I don't care. Just thank God somebody has them. It's kind of what happened. And when they're really like a couple days out, they're like, wait, where's Jesus? Where's Jesus? Then they freak out and they go back to Jerusalem and they find Jesus the kid. And he's in the temple. And he's asking questions and speaking with the rabbis. And when they confront him, finally say, what, did you know we were worried about you? What are you doing? He says this in Luke 2:49. Why did you seek me? Didn't you know that I must be about my Father's business? Even as a kid, he understood what was important. Now here's the funny thing. Lots of kids understand what's really important. I still ask this question to my kids, though they almost never answer like they used to. And it's a simple question that you should ask any small child, but only if it's true. How'd you get so cute? You ever ask that question to kids? I love asking that question to kids because they're going to say usually one of two things. They're usually going to say, my mama. I don't know that I've ever heard a kid say my daddy. Or God. It's the simplicity of a child that understands what is important and what truth is. This is the essence of simplicity. I can live a life of truth about my Father's business. We live in a really complex world. Do y'all know that? It's really complex. It's just it's just the nature of it. Life is getting more and more complex. Listen, every generation struggles with the same issues, but the big issue that I see that our generation struggles with, our society today, not even necessarily generational, because I think it's cross-generational, is that we live in such a complex society. And really, I think, in essence, if I go back to nerding out on history, we look at the Industrial Revolution changing everything, and everything becomes systematized. And so that we have to operate our life with inside of systems. And if you don't think that you do that, why don't you just look at your job or look at your mortgage or look at your car payment, because that's all part of a system. And then everything becomes more and more complex. And then throw the not just the Industrial Revolution, which started, oh, Lord, 170 years ago, but now today we have the extrapolation of that, and then throw in technology. And everything becomes really, really complex. Like, it's just complex. It's not as simple as, like, I'm going to wake up, I'm going to go out into a field and work. There's a complex aspect to it. And here's where the enemy camps out, in distraction. Because I think you're here today because you want to be about your Father's business, but life becomes complex and we get distracted. Amen. Isn't it true? Yep. Come on. You can't go into a social setting anywhere without this. You ever go to the DMV? Don't go to the DMV. But this is what everybody's doing, especially the people behind the counter. If you work at the DMV, I'm sorry. Isn't it true that it's so easy to be distracted and to get our priorities all out of whack? Why is it complex? Because we inadvertently live for the wrong things. A Covetousness we call ambition. Hoarding we call prudence. Greed we call industry. And somehow we've made the modern hero the poor boy who purposely becomes rich rather than the rich boy who voluntarily becomes poor. Because somehow we've believed that we need more, 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 more. It's a lie and it's distraction. The discipline of simplicity knows this. It knows contentment. Amen. There's peace that comes when you are okay with where you are and with what you have or what you don't have. Tremendous peace. I'm okay with what I have. I'm okay with what I don't have. Because my priorities are right. Why do most Christians have trouble living simply? I really think it's because simplicity directly challenges our vested interest in an affluent lifestyle. I don't think anybody starts out. I mean, there are some, but I don't think anybody here is starting out going, I'm just going to get as much stuff as I can get. I'm going to get as much money as I can get. Everything else, I'm just going to focus on that. But if we're not careful, our possessions will possess us. And then we become a slave to the very thing that we really didn't intend to start out focusing on. And look, it's almost impossible to live in today's society, at least in America, without a vehicle. You realize that? That just brings a level of complexity. It just does. They're not bad. Is a vehicle wrong? No, of course not. Of course it's not. We kind of need them, don't you? How many of you would not be able to get to and from your work every day if you did not have a vehicle or school? Because we need them. But let me just say, it brings complexity. And if we're not careful, the complex things that we have in our life will breed distraction and we'll take our eyes unintentionally off of what should be our first priority, serving God and serving other people, being about our Father's business. Simplicity. I want you to get this because it's key. Simplicity is not living in poverty. It's learning to live richly through relationships rather than personal possessions and accomplishments. It's not poverty. In fact, when God brought the nation of Israel into the land that he promised, he says in Deuteronomy 8:9, he says this, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing. God's heart for you is not to keep you destitute and hanging on him for every single thing. Oh my gosh, maybe he'll just drop a crumb to me. But God says, this is what he said to his people in the place that he had for them. You will eat bread without scarcity. You will lack nothing. But Jesus also said this in Luke 12, beware, guard against every kind of greed. Life isn't measured by how much you own. And then he tells this story about this rich farmer. He says, a rich man had a fertile farm that produced fine crops. And he said to himself, what should I do? I don't have room for all my crops. He said, I know, I'll tear down my barns, I'll build bigger ones, then I'll have room enough to store all my wheat and other goods. And I'll sit back and I'll say to myself, my friend, you have enough stored away for years to come. Now, take it easy, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool, you'll die this very night, then who will get everything you worked for? I'll tell you who'll get it. His kids, who didn't value it nearly as much and would probably waste it. Isn't that true? Come on. And then look at this last verse, verse 21, it's so key. Yes, a person is a fool to store up earthly wealth, and then this big word, because he's not saying don't store up wealth. He's saying, but not have a rich relationship with God. Yeah. Because let me just tell you right now, I don't care what your income level is. You are wealthy compared to most of the rest of the world. You already are. I'm not preaching against wealth. I'm preaching that we recognize that we are called to have a rich relationship with God. And when we have a rich relationship with God, we recognize this one truth. Our life is his. I'm not calling you to a life of surrender and service. I'm calling you to, and Jesus is calling us to a life of surrender and being a servant And there's a difference because you can serve and still be your own person. But a servant is somebody that surrendered themselves to a higher authority. Do you have a rich relationship with God? This is convicting. Is the depth of my relationship deep enough for God to be able to use me to make an impact in the world around me for his purpose instead of mine? Yeah. It's hard. So, I'm gonna give you some practical tips, and then I've got a sermon illustration. And if I mess it up, y'all, I'm not gonna laugh at me, okay? Is that all right? Y'all with me? This side over here, y'all with me? Okay. I love practical tips I like practicality because theology without practice is heresy. I don't know who said that. I said that. So I want you to know, what are some simple things that you can do that will help you to practice simplicity? It's important. Here's why it's important, because Jesus practiced simplicity. Why is it important? Because complexity will distract me from being about the Father's business. Practical tips to live simply. Y'all ready? I got 7 of them. We're going to go quick. First one's straight up from my daddy. He told me this is one of the best lessons I've ever learned. You ready? Practical tips to live simply. Never buy toys on time. I love y'all, but if you got to finance the jet skis, that's a dumb decision. Don't get a mortgage on the motorcycle. Come on, you already got 2 cars. Come on now. I'm probably hurting some people's feelings here, but can I just tell you, it's just not wisdom, and it's going to add a level of complexity that you don't need. You may be able to afford it, and that's great, but if you can afford it, save up the money and pay cash so that you don't have this mortgage thing hanging over your head, because if we go back to Latin, you do know what mortgage means in Latin. It means, it's 2 words combined, mort and gage. Mort means death. In Latin, gage means to strangle. So a mortgage is a stranglehold of death. How many of y'all been house poor or car poor before? Just be honest. I have. I know what it's like to have this oppressive thing that's weighing down on you, that it's making life hard. Has anybody ever felt oppressed and these notes are killing me? Can I just tell you, houses can be great investments. You need a vehicle, but the moment that we begin to intentionally make our life more complex than it needs to be, that's ridiculous. I love y'all. And I'm just saying, I could buy the, anyway. Number two is this. Buy things for usefulness rather than status. It's not wrong to have a nice vehicle, but if your motivation in buying the nice vehicle is to make sure that it's nicer than everybody around you who already has a nice vehicle, maybe there's a heart issue at work here, because all of this simplicity is not an outward action. It's an inward reality that manifests itself in us having right priorities. Number 3, reject anything that is becoming an addiction. Anything that's becoming an addiction. Do you have compulsive behaviors? How much time do you spend doing certain things? Recognize it and reject it. Here's the 4th thing. This is huge, so key. This helps you to live simply. Develop the habit of giving things away. Can you sell it on Facebook and make $60? Yes, but why not sow that into the life of somebody else who actually has a need? And I'm telling you, it just does something inside of you when you're able to give things away. And I'm just not preaching stuff that I haven't done and haven't lived. My wife and I have given away multiple cars. Now, I'm just going to clarify, they were beaters. But they were given away because it was still a good beater, so that we could take the money that we had saved and buy a slightly better beater. Because I wanted to be a blessing, because when you develop the habit of giving things away, you're just like Jesus, who gave his life for you and for me. Just give stuff away. The amount of junk, and I'm just saying, and my wife's going to, on the way home, she's going to be, because I had a thing for bicycles. I did a lot of riding, and I might have, some bicycles. Oh, Lordy, I don't want to give my, I like my bicycles, though. I got to give them away, don't I? That's great. Front row saying, I need one. I want that. Develop the habit of giving things away. Yeah. What are you giving away? It's a great heart check. Fifth thing, always be honest. Always be honest. It's really simple. It's yes, it's no. Don't spin it. Don't beat around the bush. Yes, no. Speak the truth. The opposite of simplicity is not necessarily complexity. The opposite of simplicity is duplicity. That means you are making things like you're duplicitous. You're being deceptive about things. It's not necessarily an outright lie, but it's twisting things in such a way to where it benefits you. Just be honest. Tell the guy no. No. Number six. This is massive. Look at everything that you own as a gift from God. Look at everything you own as a gift from God. By the way, number four, developing the habit of giving things away helps you with this, because when you realize that everything is a gift from God and you are just a steward, you're just a servant of what he's given you, it helps put things in proper order, because God, now it's easier to put him as the number one where you know that he should be, because you're realizing that your house, your car, your kids, they're a gift from God. They're his. Don't worship them. Worship him. Look at everything you own as a gift from God. And number seven, really simple. Live for God and for others. So, these are practical tips. And here's the point to help you get your priorities straight. So where's Pastor Chris? Come on, y'all give Pastor Chris a hand. He's awesome. We love him. I didn't say that guy could come up, but you probably need the help. And this is my oldest son, Christopher. Thank you, guys. They are bringing forth a table. Table, yeah, come on. All right, and they're bringing some other stuff. What do we have? Balls and an aquarium. So let me explain what this is. This is an aquarium. It's profound, isn't it? For demonstrational purposes, I want you to look at this as your life. I want you to look at it, this is your life. For some of you, you're like, yeah, because it's empty right now. Or you could look at it as your bank account, but don't, that's not what it is. So thank you. So this is something that's not necessarily that big of a deal. It's not a big deal, but we make it a big deal. That's too generic. Self. How about, what am I going to eat for dinner? Nobody else thinks about that? I'm feeling really awkward. What am I going to eat for dinner? You know, that's this one right here. That's this size. That's this. What am I going to eat for dinner? Some of you ladies might, what am I going to wear today? That's not a big one for me, but for some people it is. In fact, I had a thing with the police thing. I didn't even look in the mirror until after I'd gotten here. I was at the event and then went to the bathroom and then realized I had junk on my face. What's another one? Come on, y'all help me out here. What's something that's small that we make big? What do I want for dessert? What do I want for dessert? Yeah, that's true, but I need something like more, like... Football. Fantasy draft. Okay, no, I'm not going to get a little tiny one. Okay, fantasy draft. What are some other things? Some other small things. Come on. Your bank account. Okay, it's a big one, but it's a small one if we're trusting God for everything. Am I right? Come on, y'all a tough crowd. Y'all got to help me out here. So that's we're going to put bank account here. Okay, what is another small thing? Ooh, what am I going to drive? How about that? I need to drive something. Y'all ever look for a new car and it obsesses you for a long time because you're trying to get the best deal, but you really want the nice deal too, and you're on Craigslist and eBay. No, nobody? Okay. What you gonna drive? Ooh. What else? What else? What? Where's my phone? Thank you, Jesus. That's so true. Okay, where's my phone? Here's my phone. That can be a crazy thing that shows up every now and then. What are some other things in our life? Come on, let's just. What? Landscaping. What about landscaping? Ooh, what about, I got to mow my grass and it's been raining forever. And like, those are kind of big, small things. If you're in landscaping, it's about this size. And so there it is right there. Career. Oh man, that's a huge one. So let's get career. Hold on. No, it can happen. That's the part of the trick. Y'all ready? This is going to be like America's Got Talent moment. Do you see anything weird about this? It doesn't work. Oh, I'm sorry. Thank you, baby. Come on, show me your basketball skills. So here's the problem. When we make small things, big things, we don't have the capacity to live with proper priority. Because there were some big things that we didn't even mention that needed to be big things. So, come on, can you get the last one for me, Pastor Chris? Go ahead, get the last one for me. Thank you. Thank you. So if we take this as our walk with God, being about the Father's business, that's big. It fits. Sometimes you got to squeeze it in. Relationships that are closest to me, my wife, my kids, my calling. Looks like only three things will fit in there. Four things will fit in there. But if I go finances, that's, you know what? I can put finances, that's a pretty good one. You know, finances, that's a big deal. I can probably put a few more things. Like, you know, I'm gonna need another vehicle, so I'm gonna put that there. But we're gonna put that in work. But then when you take and you make other things, like, what am I gonna wear? What am I gonna eat? What about college? What about kids' education? What about all these things? And then you have to make everything that's really not that important. Like, okay, why is my hair turning gray? And about 1,000, every other small thing. What are some other small things? And we already said, I'm like, where's my phone? I don't know, it's bouncing out of there. It is amazing how, though, when you get your priorities right, listen to me, some things will stay, some things will stick, and some things will bounce right out because they're not that big because you have your priorities right. Let me just tell you right now that when you put him as the foundation, everything else, honestly, look at this. It fits. It all fits. Stop making small things big things. Keep the small things small and get the big things where they need to be. You can just leave it. And that's my heart for you today, that you get simplicity. And here's what I want you to get. Simplicity is not about what you don't do. Simplicity is not about what you don't do. Simplicity is about what you do first. Are you about your Father's business? What is the foundation of your life? For me to be this priority, this has to be first in my life. And listen to me carefully. I'm a pastor, and that is a discipline because it's still hard to do that. You know why? Because there's so many other things. You ever been hit with a ping pong ball really hard? That's what the little things in life are like. And it's really easy to focus on that. But let me just tell you, when you make the main thing, your walk with God, the relationships that are closest to you and your family, your friends that are really family that you choose, and then everything else just kind of fills in, you have capacity. And the reason that many people find themselves in a place of misery, even though they are Christians, they've surrendered their life to Christ, is because somehow they've gotten things out of whack and they've made small things big and big things small. Amen. And I don't want that for you. So Father, I just pray that today that we can hear your voice, that Lord, that we make your business our business, that Father, that we trust you first, Lord, that we don't let our externals and the things all around us define what's going on the inside, but God, that we today choose you in your way, that we say, Jesus, you're the foundation of my life. I'm not going to make small things big things. I'm going to make you the biggest thing in my life. And when we do, even though it's a discipline, even though it's hard to seek him, even though it's hard to meditate and pray and fast and study, when we make him the foundation, we have capacity to live the life he's called us to live. So Father, I just pray that you speak to us today. Maybe you're here today and you know that you've made some small things really big and you've made the big things really small. It just brings craziness. But today, God is calling to you. This message was for you. Maybe you've tried it your way and you just feel like just it's crazy. When you surrender to Jesus and you make him the king of your life and your life is for him and you are about his business and you keep that priority, his priority, yours, you can embrace the call. You can live the life that he's called you to. Maybe you're here today and this message was for you. Maybe Jesus is not the priority in your life. And you know it because it's crazy. And you don't have capacity to live at peace because there's so much craziness going on. If you're here and you say, Pastor, this is me. I've made big things small and small things big. But today I know I need to make Jesus the foundation of my life. Jesus knows you and he loves you. He came and died for you on that cross. Our sin carries a penalty. The Bible says it's death. But Jesus paid that price for you. And when you make him the priority in your life, things begin to fall into place. Doesn't mean it's easy. Doesn't mean that it's smooth sailing. It just means that you're on his ship and he's the captain, not you. And maybe you're here and today you need to make him the foundation of your life. And you know this message is for you. If that's you, I'm not going to embarrass you or call you out. But if that's you and say, Pastor, this is for me. I need to make Jesus the foundation of my life. That's you, just raise your hand and say, Pastor, that's me. Pray for me. Thank you. Thank you. I see hands all over. Keep them raised. Father, I just pray this blessing on everyone here, that there's just a sincerity of heart, that they're making you the main thing. Can we just all pray together, all of us, just say, Dear Jesus, I surrender my life to you. I repent of my sin. I receive your forgiveness. I'm living for you, Jesus. In your name I pray. Amen. Can we celebrate what God is doing? Father, thank you. We love you. We love you, Lord.